In Matthew chapter number 20, the Lord teaches a parable here about a man who owned a vineyard, and he hires some laborers. And really, this parable comes and it stems from a question that Peter asked in chapter number 19. In chapter 19 and verse number 27, it says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" So Peter asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, we've forsaken everything to follow you. So what are we going to get?" And, you know, we would sit there and say, "Wow, that's an unspiritual thing Peter did," all right? But we've all said some pretty unspiritual things in our life too. But he said that, and this is the Lord's response. He kind of gives his answer here using this parable. Let me read it to you real quick in Matthew chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first." I want to share something very quickly with you tonight. Won't keep you long. I know it's been a busy week, and I appreciate again the church's hospitality. And I know tonight has been, you know, Saturday night. I know for our family, we like to get home, get ready, a lot to get ready for the Lord's day. But I want to share this real quick with you that here the Lord gives this parable, and he teaches a lesson. Not about, again, this parable is not about salvation, but this parable is about rewards and what God has for us as serving in his kingdom. And I'm thankful, we all know this, that the Bible and the Lord Jesus refers to the world as being a field that is white unto harvest. Souls are dying, and praise the Lord, we have the opportunity to share with them life, to plant seeds, to go and to sow the seed. And praise the Lord, and I'm thankful, people are still being saved. There is a work that needs to be done. And here in this passage, this owner of the vineyard, he's hiring people to go out into the field. He sends some out early in the morning, and then he goes back every few hours. And in verse number 6, we see this. He approaches these men in the 11th hour, about 5 p.m., and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? Why stand ye here all the day idle? Too often we find folks who are standing idle when there is a great work to be done. And I believe, unfortunately, that there are many in God's churches tonight that are doing the same thing. There is a great work, a field that is ripe and ready for harvest. There are souls that need to be saved. There are people that are just waiting on someone to come and share with them the gospel. But too often, too many are standing idle. I believe God could ask the same question to many today. Why stand ye here idle? There is a work to be done. So I just want to share something real quick about a couple lessons that jumped out at me from this passage of Scripture. Simple lessons, but I think they'll get us to think tonight. Number one, the first thing is this, that there are too many who are being idle. There are too many that are idle. Now, your church is a lot like my church. We're very busy. There's a lot going on. We have outreaches. We go soul winning. We have ministries to try to reach people, disciple people. Praise the Lord for it. But I want to encourage you, and I for one want to commend you, all right? that I can see that it is not just something that the staff does around here, but that many, many are involved in the work of God at this church. Don't ever quit. Amen. Keep serving the Lord. That is a blessing. This is a rarity. And I'm just telling you the truth. It's a rarity what's going on at this church. A lot of churches, they're running ragged, their pastors and their staff, and seems like people just come to kind of be like a sponge and soak everything in and never put anything out. And our responsibility is every one of us, every member of the church, to be active in the work of God. Everybody. You know, and there are different stages of life. We were telling a family today, my dad, he was my pastor for many years. My dad served the Lord faithfully for 40 plus years, serving as pastor and many other associate pastors and things. But my dad's health is very poor. My dad's not been able to pastor. He actually, the doctors told him that he had 6 months to live, but that was 5.5 years ago. I'm thankful God's in charge. Amen. But his health is still very poor. He resigned the church where he was at in Kansas. He now lives 3 houses down from us. We try to take care of him and my mom as much as we can and need to. But he got discouraged. Because after you serve the Lord in the ministry faithfully for 40 plus years, when all of a sudden you can't do much at all, you get discouraged. And I was over at his house, and he said, son, what use am I? And I encouraged him. I said, number one, I said, Dad, I said, I know you can't come to church that often. I said, but do you watch the service? I said, yes, yeah, you know I do. Do you pray? Well, you know I do. I said, well, there's something you're doing that's important. I said, secondly, I said, you know, and I gave him some responsibilities. I said, I'm going to give you some jobs. He said, I can't do much. I said, oh, yeah, you can. And I gave him the jobs. He writes cards to everybody in our church every week. Everyone that has a birthday, an anniversary, those that are sick. And I bring him, you know, stamps if he needs them and things. And he sends those out every day. And in every day online, he posts a devotion every day. Amen. And he's been doing that now for 3 years. And I put them together. We actually printed a book with devotions in it that he has written now. And we're distributing those. And you know what it's done? It's reminded him that no matter what stage of life you are in, God has a purpose for you. Right. And I want to encourage you, don't be idle in the work of God. There are too many today that are standing idle. They're in their pews. They have their Bible, but they're not laboring. Be busy in the service of the Lord. Bible says in Corinthians that God set every one of you as it hath pleased him in the church where you are at. And you are part of a body, and every member of that body has a significant role for the work of Christ. Every one of us are important for the outreach of this church. Number one, don't stand idle. Number two, the second thing I learned from this passage is this, that God wants us to get busy as early as possible. God wants us to get busy as early as possible. In verse number one, it says this, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers. Young people, I love young people. I was my desire. I always wanted to work with kids. Growing up, what I wanted to do, I wanted to be a history teacher. And all of my friends growing up would roll their eyes at me and say, you're going to have a boring life. But that's what I wanted to be. Then the Lord called me to preach. And I will be honest, one of the things that I debated with God was I really wanted to teach history. I just love history. But I surrendered to God. I surrendered to the Lord with my life, and I've been following the Lord in the ministry, pastoring now for 14 years at this church. Thankful for that opportunity. And by the way, we have a Christian school, and I have taught history now for 16 years. Isn't it awesome? Because God has a way to take care of us and give us those desires in our life, and I'm thankful for that. But you know, I'm thankful that as a young man, I surrendered my life to God. I'm thankful that I did not wait till I was 30, 40 years old to decide to give my life to God. There's a lot of people sitting in church that think, well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to make a living, I'm going to get some income, I'll have a family, and then I'll go back and see if God wants to use me. Don't do that. I have never met one person that regretted giving their life to God as a young person. God wants us to get involved as early as possible. You might have missed the 6 a.m. call. Well, then jump in at the 9 a.m. call. You might have missed the 9 a.m. call. Well, then start wherever you are tonight. But get busy. But God wants us to get involved in the work as early as possible. Young people, serve the Lord. Young people, surrender your life to God. There is not a greater life than serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you tonight, I can't imagine. This sounds prideful when I say it, but there's zero pride in what I'm about to say. I do not know why anyone would not want my life. I know that sounds really prideful, right? But I am thrilled what God has done to me. I'm thrilled for what God's given me. I'm glad that I can go home every night and have a family that we love each other. You know, we have fun together. You know, our family, Brother Jeff there, he was telling me earlier this week, he said, you know, when he was on an ensemble for the college there, and they stopped at our church and they stayed at my house. And that night, the boys stayed at my house. And we played a Nintendo Wii that night. We bowled and we boxed and we did all this stuff. He said, when he left, he's like, you are the coolest pastor I've ever seen. Right? I was like, yeah. You know, that was not sure what that meant. But yeah, I'm thankful to have a family that we can love each other. My son's almost 20 years old, and every time we hang up the phone, he says, Dad, I love you. And I wouldn't trade that for anything. I'm thankful that I never, in all these years of my marriage, I've never wondered if my wife loves me. I'm thankful. Now, we're not rich. I don't have the white picket fence around my house, and what some people are trying for the American dream. But I'm living the most wonderful life. I wouldn't trade anything for what God's done to me. Amen. I've been around Osdor when we were driving out here. You know, we were looking on top of one of them mountains in Pennsylvania, looking over the hills. And about where we're from, we have small hills. All right. These are big hills. But we were driving through there and seeing it is beautiful. And I told my wife, I said, boy, I said, isn't it wonderful? God sure has taken us a lot of places in our life. Man, we've been, you know what? We've been to London together. I have been to every continent except Australia. And God is good. God will take you places you never imagined and do such things. You know, a lot of people get in their mind, well, if I serve God, there goes my life. I'm telling you, I surrendered to God and I found out what life is. All right? Serve the Lord. Jump in there now. Get busy serving God, because I promise you this, there's no greater life than a life found in the center of God's will. And by the way, God's will is not something you have to go hunt for under rocks. A lot of people, and young people, I guess I'm just trying to get a hold of your attention tonight, all right? Young people, you don't have to, you know, a lot of times you sit there and say, oh, I just don't know God's will for my life. I know God's will for your life. Amen. I can tell you right now what it is. It's do right today. God's will in the Bible is never some futuristic event or something you have to find. It is always a present reality. God's will in your life is just doing what's right today. And as you do good every day of your life, the Lord promised He would direct the steps of that good man. He will show you what to do. Say, I don't know what I'm going to do next year. Some of you may be in 12th grade, 11th grade. What am I going to do? You'll be asked all the time, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know. You know what? It's okay to say, I don't know. I'm just going to do right today. And if you'll decide to do that, God will direct your steps. But get involved early. Involved early as possible. Number three, the third thing I see in this passage is this. Others have been serving before us. Others have been serving before us. In verse number three, it says, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle. Verse number four, go ye also into the vineyard. Go ye also. You know, I'm just encouraged tonight. God's not asking any of us to do anything that people before us have not done faithfully. God is not asking us to sacrifice in ways that people have not been sacrificing for years upon years. God is not asking some to go to the field that he has not asked others before us to go to the field. God's not asking us to do anything that there have not been others who have been faithfully doing so. And I think events like this week in a missions conference, it's good. I love our mission updates that's been shared. I love hearing what God is doing all across the world. And I'm thankful for every one of those families that have gone and they are faithfully serving wherever God has called them. And I'm thankful God may call others to go and do the same thing. But you know, 50 years ago, there were others doing the same thing too. 100 years ago, there were others doing the same thing too. 500 years ago, there were others doing the same thing too. You know what that tells me? That God is not, you know, he's not asking us to do anything that has not been done before. He's not asking us to step out in areas that people haven't stepped out before. And if they can do it, we can do it too. And I find that in Hebrews chapter number 11, when it talks about these heroes of the faith, chapter number 12, we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. I do not believe that that means there's people up in heaven that are glancing over and watching us. I heard someone preach that. I don't think that's the truth, because in heaven there's no sin. If they watch us, they're going to see some bad things, all right? I think what that is this, that we have seen, we are surrounded by those who had a testimony that they just did what God called them to do. And our responsibility, we can be the same type of person if we will just surrender and do the same thing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just do what God called you to do, but be willing to serve him. Others have been serving before us. Get involved as early as possible. There are too many that are standing idle. Number four, I also learned this from this passage of scripture, that some people need to be asked. Some people need to be asked. I mean, here in these verses, the owner of the vineyard went to them and said, "Why stand ye here idle? Let's get busy." And I know this isn't an earth-shattering, you know, thought here, but I just want to give you something to very, very much consider tonight. Listen to me. Take it very seriously when others ask you to serve in an area. If the Lord lays it upon a pastor's heart, or if a missionary you're speaking to says, "Hey, why don't you come spend some time with us?" Pray about it. Take it seriously. Maybe God's laid upon someone's heart to share something with you. If you've been asked to do something, I'm not telling you that everything you're asked to do, you're supposed to do it. But I am saying this, you ought to pray about it, things. You ought to seek the Lord. I'm asking you, why would we want to stand idle when others are asking us to do something? You are being asked to do this week, to pray. Pray for these missionaries. You are being asked to do this, to invest. I love what has already been said tonight. You know, take the opportunity to FaceTime these missionaries, talk to them. I encouraged our church at our last missions conference that we had, and every one of our families was given a missionary. And it was their missionary. And when they got it, it's not their responsibility just to pray for them. It's to communicate with them, to talk to them, to be able to build a relationship with them. And I cannot tell you what a help that has been to our church in the area of missions. The more that you are engaged in this, the more, you know, I can list to you right now the missionaries that we support. All right, I have a prayer list too. We pass one out every midweek service that has all of our missionaries on it. But you know what? Things change whenever, you know, my family, I'll just tell you this, all right, my family has Brother Scott Kuzel. You know, and it's a blessing to have built a relationship with him and to hear from him. You know, this morning, you know, my wife and I were driving around on my phone. It gave me a little signal. I looked down and Brother Kuzel sent me a message. And we began to converse back and forth. And you know what? I'm thankful that we have that relationship. I'm thankful that, you know, he'll send out letters to churches. And I'll just be straight honest with you here, right? You know, 2 years ago, I didn't have that strong of a relationship with him. We love each other, always have. But, you know, when things happen, I found out about it with the letter. But things have changed in the last year. We've built a relationship. Amen. And when I pray for Brother Kuzel, I don't just list him and say, God help Brother Kuzel and his family. You know, I don't just call out his name. Now I know what's going on in his life. Now I know his hurts. Now I know his desires. Now I know his prayer requests. Now I know, you know, what he's facing today or what he's going to face tomorrow. And that's a wonderful thing. And you're being asked to engage this week, to take that responsibility and to put it in your life. And if God is presenting this to you this week, take it seriously. Pray about these things. Some people need asked. Number five, I thought about this in this passage of Scripture, that it's never been this late before. It's never been this late before. They came at the 11th hour. And they went and asked someone. Now, they kind of closed up shop back in those days at 6 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, the 11th hour, they went to this person, these people, and asked to go. And I know we live in the last days. Anybody that would study their Bible would agree we're living in the last days. I know these are perilous times because the Bible says that they're perilous times. But what that means is this, that time is passing us by very quickly. And we don't have time to be idle. It's time to get involved. It's not time to put our feet up. It's time to put our feet to the ground. It's time to be busy. The Bible says, what is your life? It is but a vapor. It's here, then it vanisheth away. There are folks, you know, I will never forget how this jumped and impacted my life. I used to teach young children on Sundays, and Katie, that we spent the day with today, she was one of those kids that I used to teach in our class, and me and my sister took her out. She won a contest, and we went putt-putting together, right? I start to realize how old I'm getting when I see all this stuff going on, right? I'm thankful. You know, time is going by quickly, and one Sunday, there was a boy that sat in my class, and I taught him. And I'm thankful he got saved, and he was saved, had been saved. Matter of fact, he got saved, and then his parents came to church, and they ended up getting saved. This is over a process of a couple years. And one Sunday, they were going out of town on vacation. They were there for the Sunday morning service. We all hugged them. They got in the car. And 2 hours later, a drunk driver hit them head on. They died. Man, that shook me up as a young man. It reminded me that every time I stand up to teach these guys, I might not see them next week. Those family members, tonight we heard about Germany. And then we just think, well, Germany's been here, it will be here. We don't know how much longer we have to reach people. Amen. It's never been this late before. So get involved. Number six, I also think about this in this parable. It's not too late to get started. Amen. It's not too late. You may be 60 years old. I've never done Faith Promise. Well, then start this week. You say, "Why can God use me on the mission field?" I don't care how old you are. If God calls you, it's not too late. Amen. Get started. It's not too late. And the last thing I'll share is this. Everyone will be properly rewarded. This parable stems from a question that Peter asked and said, "Lord, what are we going to get out of this, right?" Again, it's not about our salvation, but about rewards. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 8, it says this, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." In this passage of Scripture, and I'm thankful for it, as they gathered everyone together, there came a point in verse number 8, "So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire." I promise you this, that God does reward faithfulness. And I know I've said that a lot this week. A lot of times the devil sometimes whispers in our ear, it's not worth it. At our church, in the last probably 5-6 weeks, the devil's really hit our church in a lot of different ways. The devil's attacked in ways, and it is very obvious to everyone in our church that the devil is fighting. And But one of the refreshing things is that our church sees it. In every service, we split up into small groups and we just pray together. Pray for God's help. On our way back to the Defoes today, we were driving down the road and my wife and I, our minds went to some problems and things that have been happening. And all of a sudden, a young man in our church, he's married, got a few children, he sent one of those video messages, and it just said, "Pastor, I just want you to know, I've been listening to all your services there at Lehigh. I've been praying for you." He said, "I'm praying for the church." He said, "Pastor," he said, "I want you to know I love you. And I'm thankful for you." And I looked at my wife. My wife slapped me in the arm. Not in the face. She slapped me. And she said, "See, we just got to focus on the right things." Amen. Peter thought, "Lord, what are we going to get out of this?" And what Peter needed to realize is this. We do not serve for rewards. We serve because of who He is, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we serve with a knowledge. Listen to me, I'm closing. We serve with a knowledge that in the end, we're all going to get better than we deserve. No matter what God calls me to do, I still owe Him so much more. No matter what God may reward us with, we sure are not worthy of that. That's why the Bible teaches that we are unprofitable servants. We should just be willing. In the Old Testament, there were those who, after serving their master, said, "I choose to stay with this master." And they would put a hole in their ear as an emblem that I am willingly staying with my master. When we realize how great our God is, how could we not be willing to give Him everything? So I learned a lot. I learned that He is a rewarder. But no matter what it is, I sure don't deserve it. I learned tonight that it's not too late to get started. It's never been this late before, so we need to get busy. I also learned that sometimes people need to be asked. I also learned that there's others who've been serving before us, and we should be thankful. And I also learned tonight that He wants us to get involved as early as possible. But I also know from this passage that there are too many who are standing and being idle, not engaged. And the Lord looks at those tonight and says, "Why stand ye here idle? We're doing a work for God. Let's be engaged in this." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to look at Your Word. Thank You for Your Word. I love You. And God, I pray that every member of this church, none would stand idle, but all would be engaged in this great work that You've given us to do. Thank You, God, for how great You are to us. We're so undeserving. And I praise You and I love You tonight. Lord, just use us for Your glory. In Your name I pray. Amen. Amen.